podcast of Northway Baptist Church in Angleton, Texas, where our mission is to know Christ, to grow together in faith, and to go and make Him known. And now, let's join Pastor Aaron Pardue.
I'm going to ask that you turn your Bibles with me this morning to Psalm. We're going to look at the 86th Psalm, which is for me a personal favorite when it comes to Father's Day. I think about the importance of the relationships that fathers have to their children, the importance of having of being a godly dad or having a godly dad. And certainly I recognize that today that we don't all come from this place where everyone had a great dad and everyone had a godly dad, a godly example, someone who showed you the ropes. The truth of the matter is that the family was God's design. The family was part of God's plan. And in this broken down world, in this broken world, this broken and sinful world, sometimes those examples that we desperately need simply aren't there. And today I want to challenge each and every one of us to be that godly example, that contagious example. We've been talking about being a contagious church, and I'm not moving away from that today, but I want to specifically speak to what it means to be a contagious dad. Now, women, that doesn't mean that you can just go to sleep today, because everything that I say today to dad certainly can be put to you as well. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not a dad today. That's okay. It's the idea today of being a contagious example, having a contagious thankfulness, having a contagious testimony, which equals to bringing us to this place of being a contagious church. These things that we'll see in the Psalms are very important for us in regards to that. So the Smiths were proud of their family tradition. Their ancestors had come to America on the Mayflower. Their line had included senators and pastors and Wall Street wizards. And they decided to begin to compile that family history that they could be proud of and look to, and so that their children could understand from the place from which they came. There was one problem. It was Great Uncle George. He was executed in the electric chair. The author said, don't worry, I will massage it. I will make it as if be very palatable for you to read it as I collect the history. And that he would handle the section very tactfully. And when the history appeared, the family turned to the section on Uncle George immediately, where they read, George Smith occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution, was attached to his position by the strongest of ties, and his death came as a real shock. Friends, we want to be those who are leaving a legacy. Here's something I want you to understand today. If you hear me, if you hear nothing else this morning, the basis for this is this: no one leaves no legacy. If you need to write that down, this is important. No one leaves no legacy. You may not be very aware of what your legacy is. You may not care about what your legacy is, but what I want you to see is that that does not prevent you from leaving a legacy. The truth is, you are leaving a legacy. You are an example. Whether you choose to be the right kind of example or not, you are leaving that legacy. You are an example. And so what we have to recognize is that when we encounter people, and when you come to church, you're encountering people, and when you go to work, you're encountering people, and when you go to the store, you're encountering people, and when you go to the restaurant, you're encountering people, and when you encounter people, you are leaving a mark. And the question that I want us to grapple with today is, what kind of mark, what kind of legacy are you leaving? Are you leaving a legacy of love, of hard work, being an encourager, a bold legacy, a friendly legacy? Are you leaving a legacy of bitterness, a legacy of having a hot temper, a legacy of anger, and a legacy of being mean-spirited? Here's what I want you to see clearly today. Because I recognize that sometimes in the situations in which we find ourselves, it's very easy to respond in a way that is not God-honoring. And we make an assumption that we can just move forward from there and that will not have long-lasting ramifications. Here's how I like to see it. See, I'm not just leaving a legacy for my boys to see. But what I do today, what I do now, what I do in the next 20 minutes will have an impact not only on my sons, but on my sons' sons' sons. See, we think we have a small, tight-knit little bubble that we live in. And perhaps we have been fooled into believing that what we do doesn't truly matter. And nothing could be further from the truth. What you do matters, and it matters always. You think, well, this I'm by myself. No one can see this. And the truth of the matter is that you have deluded yourself. You have allowed yourself to believe something that simply isn't true. What you do matters. How you live matters. And that's why we're challenging you this summer, that we want to be a part of a contagious church. And to be a part of a contagious church means that we are part of a group of people. We're part of individuals taking seriously the imperative to be a contagious Christian. Being a contagious church doesn't just happen. Because a group says we all have a responsibility. Being a contagious church happens when individuals begin to see and to begin to recognize, hey, what I do matters. Who I am matters. And how I live and how I move and what opportunities I accept matter in this life. So what legacy are you leaving? Today I want to read this passage of Scripture and challenge you with it. In Psalm 86, it says this, in beginning in verse 8. Lord, there is no one like you among the gods. There are no works like yours. All the nations you have made will come and bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name, for you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God. And I just want you to see this while it's up there. The psalmist here starts, and we believe the psalmist to be David here. The psalmist here starts, it says that there is no one like you, and then he gets more specific, right? He gets more specific. No, not there's no one like you. You alone are God. See, it seems to suggest at the beginning, and I'm not suggesting that this he's wrong, but I want you to see that he's being more specific. In verse 8, he says, there's no one like you among the gods, among the group of gods. And he says, whoa, just a second. There is only one God. This is challenging for us today. In a world where none of us would admit and say, hey, there's many gods out there. We would recognize that there is but one God. But unfortunately, we live as if there are many gods, allowing things to become our idols and allowing them to take the place that must be reserved for the one true God. It says in verse 11, which is where we'll focus our attention, teach me your way, Lord. I will live by your truth. Give me an undivided mind to fear your name. Lord God, Help us to see this passage. Help us to understand it. Help us to apply it. Father, help us to see today that our contagious example and our contagious testimony and our contagious thankfulness must be evident. And that, Lord, what we do here on this earth matters in light of eternity. Help us not to see ourselves as simply insignificant, but that we're a part of what you're doing. Lord, we give this time to you, and we ask that you would do with it as you will, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you're following along in your notes, let me give you number one. Certainly, I'm talking to dads today, but it's recognized it could be for everyone. But certainly, contagious dads teach God's way. Contagious dads teach God's ways. As we think about being a contagious Christian and a contagious church, we want that contagious, that contagiousness then to be passed down. How do we pass it down? That we teach the ways of God. So we teach his ways. How? You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not sure how I can teach his ways. Here's a great start, men. Know what this says. Open up God's word. And perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, I don't know God's word like I should. Well, you can't learn any younger. You have to start now. It's now is the time. If we keep putting off until tomorrow what should be done today, then we'll continue to do it over and over and over. And that thing we should do will never get done. I am a pastor of a church. I have a master's degree in theology and am pursuing a doctorate in theology, and I don't feel adequate to teach this the way it should be taught. There is no time in which you say, you know what? I am completely able and adequate to teach this from cover to cover. If that's what you're waiting for, then it will never happen. You will never teach God's ways if you're saying, I'm going to wait until I've got it all down. That's like saying, I'm going to wait until we can afford to have kids. Yeah, all of you did that, right? Or you at least said it at some point. At what point did you go, wow, you know what? Honey, I looked at our finances today, and we can afford to have kids. And if that was you, right? If that was at that place where you said, honey, we can afford to have kids. Here's the problem. And I hope I'm not breaking your heart. You're wrong. You can't really just afford it financially. If you think you looked at the checkbook and said, hey, we can afford it. You need to look at the checkbook again and you need to understand what all goes in to it. If you're waiting, I just want to make sure I know the scriptures perfectly. You're waiting and putting off and putting off and putting off. And the day you pass away from this life, you'll say, I'm going to put it off until tomorrow. Don't put it off another day. Be ready to teach God's ways. Why should, as a father, I teach discipline? Well, because the Bible teaches it. Why should I teach giving? Well, because the Bible teaches it. Why should I teach honoring your father and mother? Because the Bible teaches it. Why should we serve one another in love? Because the Bible teaches it. Why should we call out that Jesus has I am statements in the scripture, students? Because the Bible teaches it. These students have been inundated with the I am statements of Jesus all week long. And so they've heard, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the bread and the life. They've heard this. They've seen the pictures of Jesus. And now what they need is not for us to say, yes, honey, that's good, but you know, you really don't understand it like it should be understood. No, they need mom and dad and student pastor and Sunday school teacher to come alongside and say, yes, let's continue in hearing about the one who is the great I am. And so we teach God's ways. See, without God's word, we don't even know what righteousness is. You ever thought about that for a second? You don't even recognize, you don't even see, you don't even understand the idea of righteousness unless the scripture points you to it. No one is righteous in and of themselves, but Jesus can make you righteous. Praise God. We teach him by making him known. My teams that are going to Peru, guess what? It seems like a fun thing, right? Wow, they get to go to Peru and teach God's word. Let me tell you, there are going to be times in which we're going to have fun. And as with every mission trip, there's going to be times where we say, what am I doing? Why am I here? I could be at home playing with my kids. I could be at home finishing the work that I've put off. I could be at home doing this or this or this. But you know why we're there? Because we want to make him known. See, when we talk about what our mission here is at Northway, what our mission at Northway Baptist Church is to know Christ. Christ, to grow together in faith and go and make him known as we go to Peru and as we go to Bulgaria and as we leave the walls of this church, what we are doing is doing what we believe God has called us to do, and that is to go and make him known. Dad, that's a responsibility you cannot shirk. You cannot leave. You cannot hand off to mom. Our role is to teach his ways. Now, I'm going to stand up here, and I just want to make sure that I'm very, very clear here. For those of you who heard, Dad, you can't shirk that responsibility. Oh, well, he just wants Dad to do all this, huh? Well, we'll see what Dad's going to do. Yeah, go ahead, Dad, teach his ways. If that is your response, right, instead of encouraging your husband to love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind, and to love his neighbor as himself, and to teach your children God's ways, if that's your response, then it is not right. Matter of fact, it's wrong. See, we work together when possible. So I challenge you, Dad, don't leave it for Mom. Don't be too important to take the time with your own kids. Philippians 1 says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If that means you're in a home with husband and wife, that we will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. For those of you who are a one-parent household, but my challenge to you is don't think you're alone. You see, this is the opportunity when you're a part of a church, you're a part of family, and when you're a part of Northway, you are Northway, and you have people who want to stand with you. I've said it before, but I love the fact that I am not the only teacher, and my wife is not the only teacher of my kids. I look out at you. Speaking of examples, see, people who have put their hearts into teaching my kids. And so I love it when they come home and they start grilling me, right? So, Dad, what about this, this, and this? I got one this week, by the way, and you can all snub, put your nose up at me and all you want. Andrew says, Dad, those guys in the Old Testament, they're put in the fiery furnace. What were their names again? No problem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, Dad, but their names before that. Hey, look over there, man. How about that? And so, what a wonderful privilege for me to be able to answer questions and to be able to field questions that I don't know the answers to, that I should know the answers to, but I just get to go, oh, I don't know, or get to create a diversion. Teach his way. Second thing I want you to see is this, that contagious dads walk in God's truth. Now, I recognize that this is a continuance of teaching God's ways, the walking in God's truth. Because you can't be the teacher you need to be if you're not willing to walk in the ways you need to walk. Don't talk the talk without walking the walk, I think is how we would say it in our terms. Ephesians 5 says, therefore be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This idea, and if you, in the King James, I love it. And this passage was actually the first passage of scripture I ever preached at Northway Baptist Church. And I remember talking about Paul and actually that translation of making the most of your time or making the most of opportunity is really redeeming the time. Paul, who had squandered much of his life with trying to persecute Christians, was now one who wanted to share the gospel. And what he wanted desperately to happen was to be able to buy back the time that he'd squandered, to somehow go back and change things. He recognized and saw, I was not God honoring. But instead, he had to now look forward. He says, don't live as unwise. Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 show us unwise. So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is within them. But we live as wise. Ephesians 5 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I think we recognize what a good aroma is. Saturday morning bacon. You're laughing, but think about this. The coffee in the morning when you just don't want to get up. But you smell some coffee. Coffee and bacon together. That's a wonderful aroma. Or the aroma of something cooking in the kitchen when you get home. Listen, we laugh, but there is something neat and something that happens in our hearts and in our minds when we have that smell that is familiar or that smell that is pleasing, and we see that and understand how that is good. And so this is what Paul is recognizing then, that we want to be a fragrant aroma. That we want to be the smell of bacon before the Lord. I know, that's all right. This is a good analogy. You just go with it, all right? That you want to be that fragrant aroma before the Lord. And we do that, what? By being imitators of God, walking in love. Christ gave himself up. And what did God say before? But this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. You know, when we offer ourselves up as a fragrant aroma, we may hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But you know what? If we're not willing to walk in the truth of God, walk in God's truth, we cannot, we will not be one who is that fragrant aroma. Producing fruit is what we must do. Not allowing our legacy to be the things of the flesh. As Galatians 5:19 says, deeds of flesh are evident, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. This is a list that we don't want to be our legacy. I pray that there's a recognition from you today that these things are not leaving a godly legacy for your children to emulate or to imitate. We change the game when our desires are for our wives, guys, instead of for computer screens and phone screens. We change the game when we're providers of peace in the home instead of sources of strife. We change the game when we don't allow the almighty dollar to be our God. Guys, do you hear me? We can change the game. We can change our trajectory. We don't have to continue going down the path that leads to destruction. But we can walk in the path that is in God's truth. Are you willing to walk that path? One more. Contagious dads know to fear the Lord. Say, oh, I don't know. I'm going to look back at verse 11. Give me an undivided mind to fear your name. That I might fear, be in awe of, have a divine respect for the Lord, that we revere him at all times. Acts 9 says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Did you see that? In the fear of God and in the comfort, that you can have comfort in the midst of fear, that you can have fear in the midst of comfort. Friends, if we don't have a fear, an awe of the Lord God Almighty, then we haven't understood what the Scripture says about the one we call Lord. This word fear in the Hebrew is something awesome or terrifying. In the Greek, it's the word. In Acts 9, it's the word phobos, which is where we get our word phobia. Fear, dread, that which strikes terror. I'm reminded that Philippians 2:12 says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. How? With fear and trembling. You know, this is not a popular concept in our world today. We'd much rather speak of the love of God, which, by the way, I'm not rejecting at all. You see, when we teach His truth and we walk in His ways, we're willing to share the whole counsel of God's Word. Not just picking the portions that we like, as if we're at Luby's. Yeah, I'll have a little bit of that and a little bit of that and a little bit of that, but no, thank you on that. No, what we see is that we have the love of God that is in us, works in us and through us. But that we also see that God is just and His name is to be feared. What kind of legacy are you leaving? Dad, are you willing to be a contagious Christian dad? One who's willing to put aside things of the flesh? One who's willing to put aside the things that somehow come in between you and your children? One who puts aside the things that would somehow be brought forth to their children that might then lead to their children's children and their children's children's children. Man, woman, boy, and girl today, I challenge you. Teach His ways, walk in His truth, fear the Lord. May God give you the strength and the willingness to go from this place and do as you've heard.